It is a big idea, a new world order.
Your world is not what it seems. Alex Tansari, Outside the Box.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Outside the Box. You know how important it is to be prepared to live off the grid, hopefully. And there's a number of threats we face, both natural and man-made. And they are admitting now on a regular basis that the United States is vulnerable to cyber attacks and other attacks on the electric grid. So not only hacking the Pentagon's computers, but our computers as well, which are made in China. And then you have the whole element of EMP weapons, pulse weapons, electromagnetic weapons, and this thing keeping continuing to pop up on the radar again and again. China and Russia can easily break into our system. Constant attacks on the electrical grid, and we see these reports now like every single week, no exaggeration. And so it's definitely something to be aware of. So they're preparing for something in the future out there off the West Coast and above our heads as they run their war games. Well, Rosalind Peterson, who's on this show, who ended up going on the Alex Jones show a couple days ago, she sent me something here to read on the air. It's an AP article going over the Navy training. Here's the headline, Oregon Senators Question Navy Training. And this comes from the Oregonian, dated today, yesterday, Thursday, April 9th. And it reads that U.S. Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley of Oregon have sent a letter to the U.S. To the Secretary of the Navy about concerns over the potential environmental and economic impact of expanding training off the Pacific Coast. The two Oregon Democrats said in their letter to Secretary B.J. Penn that the training may pose substantial risks. And the public comment period has been extended until April 13th, which is just literally 3 days away. So only time will tell if we actually do see any change in the direction of the program. Folks, we'll be back in a few, and I will continue going over this new report on the Navy war games taking place in the Northwest. Report by the Oregonian, headline, Oregon Senators question Navy training off the coast. Now the Senators cited four specific concerns, irreparable, harm to fisheries, sonar impact on marine mammals, potential threats to endangered species, and the potential release of hazardous materials into sensitive ecosystems, and they're basing that on info that the Navy's released, but there's no concerns there, it seems, about humans. And they say the public comment period ends Saturday, and that would be the 11th. I'm looking at something else that says it's the 13th. which would be Monday. So somebody's getting their facts wrong, and it could be the AP. Could be the Oregonian. But anyway, this is the concerns that they're citing. And let's see. Yeah, look, if you want to write to the Navy, you can address it to the Naval Facilities Engineering Command Northwest, 1101 Taddock Circle. Now that's spelled T-A-U-T-O-G Circle. Suite 203, Silverdale, Washington, 98315. And you want to point that direction? Attention, Mrs. Kimberly Kerr, or spelled K-I-E-R. Training deadline is April 13, 2009, as I'm looking at this piece of info given to me from Rosalind Peterson. And you can find more info over at her website, CaliforniaSkyWatch.com. And another friend of mine sent me this report. She definitely thinks it's something that needs to be talked about. If I can just pull it up here. Something about the police storming a new school building and arresting 19 people. I have no clue what this is about. This just came in like 2 minutes ago. And this comes from the New York Times. This took place in New York. New school students protesting their administration in front of a university building at 65 Fifth Avenue that fellow students had occupied early Friday morning. Scores of police officers wearing helmets and carrying batons and pepper spray entered a new school building. In new schools, like, sounds like a trademark for a certain type of schools in New York, at 65 Fifth Avenue around 11 a.m. Friday, arresting 19 protesters who had occupied it as part of a determined protest against the university's president, Bob Carey. The police department was asked to arrest individuals trespassing on the property. And the students at the scene described a turbulent situation in which protesters were pepper sprayed before being placed in handcuffs and loaded by police officers in the back of a white van. Yeah, put them in the paddy wagon. Off to the van with you. We don't act up around here. This is New York. Get in the van. Get out of here. Anyway, 11:30 in the morning, Miss Brown said it was untrue that pepper spray or mace was used to make sure the arrests were made, and that's the department's chief spokesman. We deny it. And witnesses said that the protesters had sought to leave the building by a side door, but were pushed back and pepper sprayed. The witnesses said that several students pushed open a door that exited onto 14th Street, and that officers stationed outside that door applied pepper spray onto the students in the corridor and slammed the door shut. And I'm thinking about the G20 as I read this, about police forcing protesters into a box or into a corner or into an alley where they have the way with them. And in this case, they're using pepper spray. How intense did it get? I'm sure there's some YouTube video right now and actually this is dated today. Yeah, so this basically happened a couple hours ago, so this is still new. And there's a video here if you type in the link or you type in the headline, police arrest 19 at school building. I'm actually going to play this video here just to get an idea of what things look like, but it would be nice if we had audio to actually be able to play some of the stuff. I'm actually watching police try to keep people in. They're trying to get out of some building. It's a big steel-looking door. Very creepy-looking. The song, Still Just a Rat in a Cage, does come to mind. Still just a rat in a cage. All right, the police are running. There are people filming. Looks like the person filming just got bumped by the police officer. Pushed aside, literally shoved. And now we're seeing other people being thrown to the ground with little special handcuffs being applied to them. A lot of yelling, a lot of panic cops looking around going, all right, someone do something. We've got our batons out. We're ready to hit. They're looking around. And these are supposed to be kids, right? You suddenly have all these people working together, women and men working together to hurt other kids. Oh, the woman is just so doing what she was meant to do in this life by pushing around another female who's a teenager. But why were they protesting? That's what I'm trying to find out. See, it's odd when they don't even mention that, or they leave it at the end. And I'm scanning, I'm going down the support, and I'm trying to find, I got to read basically all three pages, three-page report. But, yes, here we go. Last paragraph. The students adopted a list of 8 demands, including a greater student voice in university affairs and the resignations of Mr. Carey, a former senator from Nebraska, who students said was connected to a private security company working in Iraq. Oh, this is getting interesting. Private security company working in Iraq. Yeah, that's who controls the kids over there. They say, get out. I'm with them.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Present and future, Monday through Friday, 11 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, The Global Reality with Josh Reeves.
Kids over here rioting, protesting in New York. They don't like their president, who is connected to a private security company working in Iraq. I wonder what one that is, whether it's Blackwater. But they're also protesting not only for him to leave, but James Murtha, executive vice president, and Robert Millard, treasurer and board of treasuries. And this is one of the things that we're seeing there. Now, going into something else, hey, let's talk a little bit about Chinese military technology. And you can find this article over at Steve Quayle's website, stevequayle.com. And what we're talking about here in this report, this headline, Chinese scientist weaves invisible magic, is the invisibility cloak. And, you know, this story is has been produced by the CCP. This is their media. ChinaView.cn, this is official Chinese news, approved by the government in Beijing. This is Chinese propaganda, along with, you know, lots of other stories that come directly from the CCP. But it reads that, hey, remember the invisibility cloak worn by Harry Potter? Despite never having attended wizardry courses at Hogwarts, Chinese scientist Li Rupeng is attempting to turn J.K. Rowling's fantasy into reality by producing a special material that bends light waves and makes objects and people invisible. From what I understand, the U.S. and China are working together on these projects. According to Liu, a 26-year-old leading researcher on the Pioneering Invisibility Program, the cloak he is working on is about the size of a bath towel and composed of thousands of glass-like fibers that deflect light from its surface. Whatever is under the cloak will appear transparent. There's nothing theoretically impossible about an invisibility cloak as long as the material it is made of has the ability to deflect light rays. An optical researcher from the Chinese Academy of Sciences told Beijing News. Scientists from around the world are racing to be the first to perfect the technology, which has obvious military applications. Well, let's contemplate these obvious military applications. A PhD student at Duke University in America, Liu carried out his research with the help of his U.S. classmates and Chinese colleagues from Southeast University. He is one of China's post-80s generation of young scientists and has had his work published in Science, one of the world's best-known popular science magazines. Okay, I just decided I would just read the whole thing. I just got so excited it was straight, uncut Chinese propaganda. Obvious military capabilities. I mean, how big can this get? I mean, are we simply just talking about cloaking an entire human being? Or something along those lines, something out of Predator? Or maybe something far larger, a massive implementation of the invisibility cloak to disguise, I don't know, a ship, a submarine, maybe something that's flying through the air. And there are many ways that radar can be bypassed. Or how radar, you know, things like that, how signals can be jammed. The future's going to be if there ever was a real war between these countries. Very, very, very interesting. And then some say, hey, but it'd be devastating for them. They would never do that. After all, they'd be hurting their investment. Well, perhaps not nuke, but take over a country, possibly by military force, if they have to secure what they see as theirs and their assets. Yeah, I do see something like that possible. A ground invasion, perhaps, but not to dwell on that. This is one of many admissions documenting where China is at militarily, but we really only know so much. This is the stuff that they're showing us and admitting. And while officially, you know, they've increased their military budget, I think it's like, you know, 19% or something like that. That's just what they say. There's a lot of allegations coming from our own country saying, well, you know, it's far higher. And with great economic strength comes great military strength. I'm now going to go over the latest talks about the new pain ray. And this is from the Danger Room section of Wired. So if you really want to, you know, get freaked out, go ahead and just start going through some stories over there. Actually, nothing really freaks us out anymore, those of us that are used to this information, that I've seen it for some time. It's just more of the same old, same old. But I haven't talked a lot about it for a while because, you know, it does get a little bit old. So we will go over this new report. The Pentagon is adding a new compound to its pain ray. Eventually, it might help make the weapon become smaller, more powerful, and easier to deploy abroad. All right, I've got, like, images of Star Wars in my head right now. Ray guns. And I'm thinking, like, you know, ray guns that we've seen in comic books. Pew, pew, you know, people up in space. in a Star Trek movie or something, you know, these special little guns. Or perhaps other guns that you get shot and then they just knock you out. Different than a taser. And probably only a matter of time before they start developing stuff like that on a massive large scale and saying, yeah, we need to give these out to cops. I mean, we've already seen stuff where they got, like, the puke flashlight. Just type in the throw up puke flashlight into YouTube, and this guy's talking with a straight face about how great it is, how law enforcement can use this, and, you know, no, like, hey, isn't this kind of creepy? Or, hey, what's going to happen next? Just sit there with a smile, this mad scientist-looking type character. You know, just real wacky stuff. But they're talking about getting smaller and more powerful and easier to deploy abroad. But for now, the U.S. military won't say much about the compound at all. Well, that's interesting. The active denial system is a, so they say in this report, a non-lethal ray gun that heats the outer surface of the skin, a painful but mostly harmless experience using microwaves. Sure, it's harmless to hit other humans with a microwave. Sure, now you're going to tell me it's probably good to eat stuff from the microwave, too. Oh, wait, they already are. I want to radiate our food, for crying out loud. All right, let's talk about this some more when we come
as
back.
America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Part of the plan to pull us back from Iraq, police America, when we go broke. No longer borrow any more money from the Red Chinese. But hey, let's go back to that report on ray guns and things of that nature. But you can find that full report over at Steve Quayle's website, actually, stevequayle.com. I'm actually now going to go over that particular report. So I don't want to forget, but Russia test fires intercontinental missile, and this is from Press TV. Russia has launched a PC-12M Topol intercontinental ballistic missile. It was launched by the Strategic Rocket Forces and the Space Forces. This was done today. The dummy warhead has hit a designated target at a particular testing ground on the Kamchatka Peninsula. The spokesman for Russia, pointed out, the launch has allowed the extension of the missile's service life to 22 years. Okay, so they're interested in warheads that have a long shelf life and seeing what's still working, perhaps, that they've had already in development for some years. Testing their arsenal, just double-checking, maybe. He is quoted as saying the launch has been conducted under a program to extend the operating life of the Topol missile systems. Its purpose is to confirm the stability of the main flight and technical characteristics of the missile systems during the extension of their operating life. And that's what George Green says on many of the interviews that he does, and when he comes on my show and others, and World War III comes up, and he talks about the nuclear arsenal of Russia that's never gone away. All those missiles pointed in the direction of the United States, still there. Continuing with this report, the missile was produced in 87 but remained on combat duty until August 2007. The Topol missile system is the foundation of the Strategic Rocket Forces Group and is featured by highly maneuverability and quick readiness to launch. So some of the stuff probably wasn't even developed until that period of time. A lot of weapons are new, and so they're still getting used to these weapons. So how long did they last before we just chuck them or bury them? Or, you know, they talk about nuclear disarmament and all that stuff. We've heard this over and over, and we continue to hear it, but is it actually happening? Or are the missiles and the weapons and the nukes just repositioned somewhere else? Now, obviously, you have to bury some stuff. Gets old, don't want to take a risk of trying to use it in a wartime situation, so you got to bury it, which is also messed up. A lot of the stuff is buried, not to be thrown away, so to speak, or put in the garbage, but put underground for use at a later time. And we know a little bit about underground bases, but not enough. When it comes to the United States, but what about China? What about India? What about the Middle East? What about Russia? Other underground bases. You know, even Saddam had an underground base. Oh, yeah. Quite an elaborate one. You notice we don't hear much about that, do we? What could be going on underground? Why are we even in Iraq or the Middle East anyway, if it's not all about oil? Beyond just different theories of war and having a geopolitical strategic position, a stronghold in a region like Afghanistan, beyond the whole idea of us being there for drugs, why else? And why, here's another question, have so many conflicts on the planet taken place in certain parts of the world? But I just don't want to say just conflicts, but also historical events, large ones, places that for whatever reason are important to various religions of the world, whether it be Israel or whether it be certain parts of the Middle East, or whether it be the Indians with their rituals and their pilgrimages when they all come together at this one time every year and walk up these long steps. And although it may seem crazy to you and me to do this, to have that type of faith in the Hindu religion, think of the history, though, that's involved in that particular pilgrimage and that land and the history. Anyway, to divert my attention back to the Middle East, what is it about the Middle East? what is it that could have happened years and years and years ago that was significant enough that Iraq still is a main center of focus for people engaged in trying to rule the planet? What is it about Iraq? What could be going on there that we don't know, that we've never even heard of? I know about William Henry, and I know he's got some interesting ideas about, you know, a theory about a Stargate there. And I've known about that. That perked my ears up way back in 03 when I initially heard that. And a lot of others, you know, when you do deal with, I'm not saying I believe that. I'm saying it's an interesting idea. But I wonder what is the real truth? What is really going on in the underground that we don't hear about that's already been developed? Now, in terms of the Middle East, to kind of go in a different direction, there's no doubt in my mind that the CIA is involved in creating Manchurian Candidate Middle Eastern Iraqi killers that are programmed to go kill themselves and others in suicide bomb attacks. Not that I'm saying there aren't real ones, but there's no doubt in my mind. This is the Fourth Reich. The Nazis were pulled out of Nazi Germany, the real criminals, while the people at the bottom were at the Nuremberg trials. Well, the real criminals, they got to South America, Latin America, other places, formed our CIA. And we know about MKUltra, Project Paperclip, and many, many, many other things. So why would we think that it's not still going on to this day? And we talked a little bit about the shootings yesterday, and there's something weird going on. Because now, in this weird era of time that we're in, we're starting to see more and more shootings, people killing themselves, killing others, and we're trying to figure out what is actually causing it. Is it simply just a reaction to the economy, or could it be mind control? Could there be something behind the reality that this reality we're in now? Well, there'll be 3, 4, 5, bam, all at once, then it'll die down for a bit, and then it'll come back stronger than ever. And it's global, but in particular, Western governments, in particular, countries already under the control of the New World Order. That's where we're seeing stuff like this. So I got a little info on that. Even some of the mainstream reports are going, hey, why so much at once? Must be the economy. And we'll get into that when we come back. Stay with me. 866-841-1065.
The Animal Farm Radio Show.
This is the greatest show on radio because Pia is on the show.
I know.
Weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Central.
From the Washington Post, even, you know, Avery Jane had sent me this report, and it is from the Washington Post. It was also reprinted in MSNBC.com and a bunch of other publications. But I'm going to read a little bit from this. Some link economy with spate killings. In 1 month, 57 die in 8 mass murders. The death toll is actually higher than that, folks, though, because you have some, they're just suicides, and some, they're just murders of maybe one person or two people. That happens as well. But they're just counting mass murders. And they go on to tell you, over in New York, a Vietnamese immigrant said about losing his job. And, by the way, also his wife. Burst into an immigration center and killed 13 people before killing himself. In Pittsburgh, police said a gun enthusiast recently discharged from the Marine Corps opened fire and killed 3 police officers. That's the one they try to blame on Alex Jones, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And in Graham, Washington, investigators said a man whose wife was leaving him shot and killed 5 of his children in their mobile home before taking his own life. The carnage that occurred during less than 48 hours last week capped a recent string of unusually brazen mass killings, which crime experts say have touched more people and occurred in more public settings than in any time in recent memory. Comparative statistics are difficult to come by, but during the past month alone, at least 8 mass homicides in this country have claimed the lives of 57 people. Just a few days ago, 4 people were discovered shot to death in a modest wood frame home in a remote Alabama town. I didn't know about that one. The factor underlying the violence, some experts think, is the dismal state of the nation's economy. Criminologists theorize that the epidemic of layoffs, the meltdown of American corporations, and the uncertainty of recovery have stoked fear, anxiety, and desperation across society and unnerved its most vulnerable and dangerous. A criminologist at Northeastern University has said that, I'm not really sure what state that university is in. I'm looking for that. A good journalist or a good writer would appropriately, like, cite cities that they're in and states and not just mention universities. Well, you know, and just general reporting has gone down quite a bit with people being clear on the facts. Anyway, I'm just going off on this guy's writing ability, but it's very sad to see, like, extreme people like can't even write and spell. I've seen some AP articles. It's just totally insane. Or get people's names right. You know, don't want to do the research. They figure most of their readers are just believe whatever they write. And all the easier for them to smear people and make up lies. They assume no one's gonna go check it out. But they're not counting all the mass killings because they said the last couple, what did they say? They say days? No, they said months. But we've seen the stuff in days, a matter of days. We've seen a bunch of mass shootings. So last couple months, the death toll is far, far higher than, you know, 57 or whatever they mentioned up at the top. But the criminologist says that I've never seen such a large number of killings over such a short period of time involving so many victims. The simple fact, criminologist James Allen Fox said, is that more Americans are struggling. The American dream to them is a nightmare, and the land of opportunity is but a cruel joke, said Fox, also of Northeastern University, who has been dubbed the Dean of Death for his analysis of mass murders. The economic pie is shrinking to the point where it looks more like a Pop-Tart, and some feel all they're getting is the crumbs. There's a combination of feeling despair and hopelessness. At the same time, has a certain degree of anger and blame. Other crime experts caution, however, against drawing such conclusions. And it continues on here. But here are my thoughts on this. I deal with a lot of information and news and stuff about how things aren't doing good economically, and I'm not melting down or breaking down. In fact, I'm wanting to get stronger and healthier and deal with the coming changes, and I'm driven differently than most people. And it's sad to see people go this route, but like I said before, and I guess some things are worth mentioning more than once on a repeated level. By helping others, you help yourself. Based on what I've done, I feel okay about where I'm going. My yogi tea of the day, it says, your greatness is not what you have, it's what you give. Very synchronistic. I just randomly looked down as I was saying what I just said, and, what's a yogi tea say today? It is about giving, and by that you ensure your own behind. You take care of yourself in a selfish society where people are only worried about their own gain or focused on their own gain. It's like a social disease. When things are decadent, it's depressing, especially when it is a depression manufactured by the elite. But we know intellectually in our minds it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to be that depressed. We can be free on the inside. And we do have to learn how to be free on the inside because this is a prison. This is a prison, albeit a transparent one, but we can see the barbed wire. We can see the walls. We can see the rules written on the walls and other things, the other writings on the wall. All there and much, much more. So it deals, I guess, a little bit why we're able to look at that is because there's an emotional maturity that comes with being able to face unpleasant truths about the world that you live in. And it's a lot for people to realize that they're not as free as they think, that this is actually still a feudal system, but they've been sheltered for much of it in the same way that a parent might shelter their child from certain things, but this sheltering hasn't been done out of love. They've been literally just holding back the truth to keep you under control, to keep people hoping for change, when in reality we do live in a violent empire. We live within the walls of this empire, and now it is crumbling. We've had a certain level of strength for a period of time as a result of living in the empire, and we've had a lot of good things come to Americans monetarily in the past as a result of the empire. Now the empire is crumbling in this sector of the planet, but the power structure is still intact. It's just that the empire on a global scale, the decision making, we're going to see more of it coming from China and Russia, as we see this new world order system now turn its eyes on the United States as well as the third world. So there will be, I guess, so to speak, nobody left behind in this new world order system. We'll be back in a few, folks.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
lot of stuff going on in Africa. Somali pirates. And a U.S. captain of this alleged unarmed ship volunteering to allow himself, you know, be taken hostage. Not sure exactly what's going on there. It was on hearing Alex Jones on his show, and I just listened for about 3 minutes today just to kind of randomly hear what was popping out of the mouth of AJ. Is calling for, like, Somalians to be bombed and things like that. I don't know. I don't think he should be in a position where he's in a spot where he should be calling for places to get bombed or not bombed. I think he needs to stay out of military affairs when it comes to, like, calling for nations to get attacked or things of that nature. Not a good sign. It was odd to see him on Russia Today as well. A couple months ago, this clip's on YouTube, when the whole situation was going down with Georgia and Russia, and that started off on 888. That was weird seeing him tell, like, the Russian military on Russia Today, no, you guys don't leave. We stay there. Stay there and hold your ground. Like, okay, now you're advising a foreign military? But, kind of odd. Anyway, Somalian pirates, Africa, a lot of stuff going on there. They vow to take on the U.S. military if they are attacked. You know, also been alleged that this could be kind of like a false flag event or something like that, created by the Westerners or whatever, military-industrial complex to get their fingers even more under the skin of Africa itself through their AFRICOM, their military takeover of a continent, to have the pretext of going after smugglers and terrorists to be able to get those crown jewels that they've been getting and pillaging and extracting for so very long. But this report here is from The Guardian. Somali pirates vow to take on U.S. military might if attacked. Stranded Somali pirates holding an American hostage in the Indian Ocean under the gaze of a U.S. destroyer vowed today to fight if they are attacked. U.S. Navy last night called in a team of FBI negotiators. Why are there FBI negotiators operating internationally all the way down there in Africa? There's just many, many things in this world that do not make a whole lot of sense. And they moved the U.S. Bainbridge into position to try to secure the release of Richard Phillips, who is being held by four Somali gunmen in a lifeboat some 300 miles off the Horn of Africa, despite an apparently hopeless position. The pirates showed no signs of giving in, saying, "We will defend ourselves if we are attacked by the Americans. We are not afraid," one of the pirates told Reuters. All right, folks, let's go. Paper in America. Somali pirates take American. How to stop the Somali pirates? All these headlines. Oh my God, we have to go to war. We have to get the ships down there. Yes, yes, we have to be down there. So just type in Somali pirates into YouTube, and you'll get so much information, and you'll find information leaning to the conspiratorial view of this is all by design, and then you'll get propaganda saying, oh, we just need to be in Africa. We need to have military people all over the world. And then you have other people going, hey, you know what? These people are justified in doing what they're doing because Western corporations have polluted the hell out of that area. That's where we're seeing this one particular rapper, Kanan, it might be how you pronounce his name. That's what he's saying, and he's up in Canada. But there's a couple other things also going on. Now, someone told me there was some sort of a blackout yesterday in California, Southern California. And if you have any information on that, give me a call at 866-841-1065. Or if you want to bring up any other pieces of information. But that is one thing that I had heard, and I don't know what has caused that or why. Last year we saw so many blackouts. Some were big. We saw a big one in Toronto, Canada. But, looking over at Google News, there really isn't much about that. But there is some info about Verizon and AT&T customers reporting a communications blackout. And that was because of very, very organized sabotage on the part of somebody, and I wonder who, that was directly going after AT&T. And how organized were they? Being that, these wires were in the underground vault? I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe there's things going on that don't make a whole lot of sense, but they're still going on. Or things you can't prove that this is more than maybe just a vandal. But we don't know that. We don't know that at all. But this is from the San Francisco Chronicle, and it reads that vandals cut fiber optic cable lines belonging to AT&T at two locations early today, knocking out phones and access to 9/11 emergency services to thousands of residential customers and businesses in southern Santa Clara County, in Santa Cruz and San Benito counties along the peninsula. Four AT&T fiber optic cables in an underground vault were severed shortly before 1:30 a.m. along Monterey Highway, north of Blossom Hill Road in South San Jose, Police Sergeant Ronnie Lopez said. Four more on cables, at least two of which belonged to AT&T, were cut about 2 hours later along Old Country Road near Bing Street in San Carlos. So there's probably maybe just a couple of you in the San Francisco area that even know what area I'm talking about. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm just reading from the San Francisco Chronicle. But John Britton, spokesman for AT&T, said, clearly we have some vandalism. Someone on purpose and deliberately cut the wires. He added, we can't speculate about any connection, but the method of operation appears to be the same. He said the four cables that were cut in San Jose were about the width of a silver dollar and were encased in tough plastic sheath. One cable contained 360 fibers, and the other had 48 fibers each. Okay, that's about all I'm going to spend on that particular report. But, by the way, someone's mentioning to me that they heard the jets again fly over their house in Northern California. And that means that in what, 5 minutes, you think, or 10 minutes they'll be here? Let's just test this out. It's 2:15 right now. Let's go ahead and see what's going to be going down. And I'm waiting. Okay, actually, I had another report here, too. Anyway, you want to join the conversation, do that at 866-841-1065. Let me be your therapist today. Sit on the couch and let me make you a nice cup of cocoa as we try to analyze what the hell is going on this planet called Earth. You know what? The world is just falling apart, and I feel good. Not because it's falling apart. I just feel good. It's just weird. I mean, people just assume I'm really not a happy person, but, hey, things have been pretty good lately. And that's because I have been willing them to be good inside. I'm starting to understand, you know, even more on a deep internal level how we are responsible for our own lives, our own emotional state. And I just want to be a positive influence for people that never had a big brother type of thing. I don't know. Yeah, we have a break coming up. Let's cover some more news. I'm really disappointed I lost my MP3 player. I used to listen to that at the gym and run around with that. Now I can't find it. And I used to be able to play you video clips with that thing, but I can't find it. I'm just going to break down over it right now. Let's get into the other things going on the planet. There's just so much. Glenn Beck, by the way, fails miserably to debunk facts on FEMA camp infrastructure. That's in the news. Cyber spies targeting U.S. electrical grid. We went over that. Oh, and that's what's really weird about that story and the whole alleged vandals. Cutting AT&T's communication. I mean, I'm just feeling it. I'm picturing like Chinese ninjas. Chinese spies. Plants here. Just. I don't know, man. Red Dawn! Red Dawn! Red Dawn! Mayday! 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 You might ask what it takes to remember when you know. You know, the implantable microchips are made in China. Well, maybe at least if they're not, they will be one day. Maybe our babies will be in China. Their strong suit. Scandea.com. He focuses on a lot of earth changes and flooding and this, that, and the other. A couple of headlines I'll go over that he's focusing on from the perspective of Scandea. Three die as a tornado, apple-sized hail hits Arkansas town. Okay, apple-sized hail. Injures dozens, kills three. Widespread damage across six counties. Severe weather also reported in Louisiana. Batter residents of the western Arkansas city of Mena waited for daylight Friday to dig out from a direct hit by a tornado that killed three people, injuring at least 30. And flattening homes and businesses, including a manufacturing plant. The twister sliced through the community of 5,700 in the Ouachita Mountains around 8:10 p.m. Thursday. Polk County Sheriff described the sky turning green, while the airport manager said darkness fell quickly as the twister crossed the Oklahoma line 10 miles away. The violent weather was part of a system that caused damage throughout the South and parts of the Midwest. The National Weather Service said a woman was injured at Shreveport, Louisiana, when a tree fell on her car during a tornado. Twisters also damaged homes east of Veneta and near Muse in Oklahoma and at Crossette in far southern Arkansas near the Louisiana line. As the storms move east, hail and high winds were reported in Alabama, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Power was out in many parts of the region. At Mena, one of the victims killed in the storm was found in a collapsed house, one in a Masonic lodge, and another was found in her front yard. That's according to the county's emergency coordinator. National Guard troops have been dispatched to downtown Mena. In downtown Mena, we have national troops there protecting the downtown area. They've been dispatched by Governor Mike Beebe. A curfew was in effect as emergency crews dealt with ruptured gas lines, downed power lines, fallen trees, and heavily damaged buildings. So that's something that we're reading from USA Today. Here's another one. Dozens of homes burn as fires scorch multiple states, Texas and Oklahoma. Wind whipped wildfires. So we could see these twisters and tornadoes having a very interesting effect on the wildfire problem in that region. Very alarming pieces of information. It's also interesting how he said how the sky turned green. And, wow. So, going back and looking at northern Florida, flooding is moving east. There are hundreds affected there. Meanwhile, the dry season in Florida remains the third driest on record. And here's something else. I talked a couple times about the next earthquake being a 9 in the northwest, and that could crumble Seattle. So what they've done here, and this is coming out of Seattle News Agency, also in conjunction with Northwest Cable News in Portland, Oregon. Actually, I think they're both based in Spokane. Anyway, headline reads, 9.0 earthquake could crumble Seattle. Supercomputer simulates frightening northwest megaquake. Monday's 6.3 magnitude earthquake that killed nearly 300 people in Italy serves as a reminder that the Pacific Northwest could suffer the same fate at any moment. It'd be far higher than 300 people if we were to have an earthquake on the likes of a 9. Now scientists in California have come up with a number of scenarios that show a mega earthquake that could cause high-rise buildings in Seattle and other parts of the Northwest to collapse. The last so-called mega thrust quake to hit the Northwest happened 309 years ago. The Juan de Fuca plate under the Pacific Ocean slipped some 60 feet under the North American plate. It set off a magnitude 9 earthquake that sent tsunamis into the coasts of North America and Japan. Scientists say mega thrust quakes like that happen on average every 4 to 500 years. When you think about how long the Earth has been around, that means we're almost due for another. Seismologists at San Diego State University using a supercomputer have created a virtual earthquake program to show the possible impacts of another mega thrust quake in the Pacific Northwest. The simulated quake spans the 600-mile-long Cascadia subduction zone. The results show the ground in Seattle moved 1.5 feet per second. nearly 6 inches per second in Tacoma, Olympia, and Vancouver, B.C., and 3 inches per second in Portland. Other simulations show that the ground motion under some conditions could be twice as big. And they also write in this report that they found the high ground velocities were accompanied by significant low-frequency shaking, like what you feel in a roller coaster that lasts as long as 5 minutes, and that's a long time. What makes things worse for cities like Seattle, Tacoma, and Olympia is that they sit on top of sediment-filled geological basins that tend to amplify the waves caused by major earthquakes. In other words, the next design of the Northwest means we're going to fill it a whole lot more than maybe in some other areas. That means a lot of shaking for a city like Seattle, where most high-rise buildings have gone up since the 2001 Nisqually quake, the one that suddenly made the safety of the Alaskan Way viaduct a regular news story. Scientists with the Earthquake Engineering Research Laboratory at the California Institute of Technology predict that an 8.1 massive quake, magnitude quake, under the right circumstances, could cause some Seattle buildings to collapse. In 1985, several smaller buildings survived an 8.1 quake in Mexico City, but a number of high-rises there failed. I got to go to work in downtown Portland later on. I'm just picturing the future. Fallen buildings. Back in a few, folks. Everybody, we're talking about lots of stuff. Earthquakes, flooding, tornadoes, old limestone, Chinese weaponry, how messed up the economy is. Well, yeah, we got that going on too. Although it has not been a driving focus, focal point for today's broadcast. Which, you know, it's probably a good time then to go into a report like this. Lee Rogers puts this under the media propaganda category section of roguegovernment.com. From the AFP, U.S. newspaper owners are mad as hell. U.S. newspaper owners, their advertising revenue evaporating, their circulation declining, and their readership going online to get news for free are fighting mad. The enemy? Websites that use their stories without paying for them. Oh. Well, this would be a way they go after InfoWars. I can definitely see that for sure. Chairman of the AP says, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. So the chairman of the AP, a corporation, cooperative, of over 1,400 U.S. newspapers, borrowing a line from the Anchorman character in the 1976 movie Network. Right. They're upset about something. Dean Singleton, said at a meeting this week of the Newspaper Association of America in San Diego, says, quote, "We can no longer stand by and watch others walk off with our work under misguided legal theories." Well, we can no longer walk by as our nation gets raped. They want to go after people that link to them. They want to go after people that link. How many times have you seen articles like this? Singleton's battle cry came just a few days after News Corp chairman Rupert Murdoch launched a broadside against internet giant Google, whose Google News website is one of the most popular news aggregators on the internet. Murdoch is asking, should we be allowing Google to steal all our copyrights? And he is also the owner of newspapers in Australia. He is an Australian. Britain and the United States, where his holdings include the Wall Street Journal and New York Post. Two newspapers, the Rocky Mountain News of Denver, Colorado, and the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, have shut down in recent weeks, and several big newspaper groups have declared bankruptcy, including the Tribune Corporation, publisher of the Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times, and other dailies. Oh, they're not going to be able to stop us from linking to them and linking to stories. They're upset, though, clearly, because newspapers are falling apart. Well, you have the combination of people running away from the mainstream because you guys are spitting out propaganda. And then you have the issue that you guys have to deal with, you people out there that are running these newspapers. And that the economy sucks because the masters you have defended for year after year after year after year after year, over and over and over and over again and again and again and again, have manufactured this decline to consolidate power and media. In so many cases, that includes some of you minions that have worked for them. That's how sick and decadent this is. You know what? That should be the hope, though, for our desire to defeat the New World Order. That this system, which is so greedy, which is so selfish and backstabbing to even other elitists that are involved in this whole thing, that maybe they one day will turn on their masters that have fed them for so long and start using their papers the right way. But, yeah, that will definitely kill the idea of democracy via free press or in a free press if the government nationalizes these papers and buys them up and gives them a bailout. That would really be a very interesting scenario. The Hearst Corporation, owner of the San Francisco Chronicle, I believe they are the ones that also own the Oregonian, has threatened to shut down the paper unless unions agree to major staff cuts, and the New York Times has threatened to close the Boston Globe unless unions there do the same. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and type this into Google right now because I really want to know. Oregonian paper layoffs? I'm just going to put all those together into the Google search bar and see what happens. Oregonian newspaper announces pay cuts and other measures. So even our own local paper here is definitely hurting. It's owned by Hearst. It's definitely, I can't say it's going to be missed, but other than that, we don't really have a lot of papers in the city. We have papers, but I mean, the journalism quality is pretty poor at the Mercury and at Willamette Week. The quality of the articles are very poor. They talk about bands and partying and, you know, fancy food and trendy things and cotton candy and backflips and fancy pretty lights and baubles and trinkets and shiny objects and things that shine and butts that move and bumping and grinding and,
hip hip hop hop the ho yo. Yeah. So it's a very sad scenario just where media is today, how upsetting it is to see a lack of real coverage and then see them grovel and whine about how they're not doing so well and how they want to go after people, alternative people, bloggers that reprint their stories without giving them money, even though they get a link back. And that's still a promotion, but no, that they need to get the revenue up. They're not there just to, you know, provide information or warn the people about anything. They're there to make a lot of money and copyright these stories. And so now that they're hurting, you know, so that's why this is happening. Let's cover a couple more headlines, but I actually kind of want to finish this one. The decline in print advertising revenue has been exacerbated by the global recession. But the more fundamental problem, according to media analysts, is that the business model that has sustained the industry for decades is broken. And I want to talk about advertising real quick. Advertising, that industry is hurting quite a bit. And, I mean, across the board, all types of advertising. You know, that's like the sugar coating on the cake. That's not the substance. The substance provides what allows for the advertising might even be there, the advertising funds. For a lot of businesses, the advertising is not part of your operational cost. It's a plus. And some other business plans, advertising is directly built into your operations. It's a vital part of keeping people coming to your business, but you know, the decline in advertising, what advertising you do see, I mean, there's definitely a lot of advertising. There's not a decline of advertising. I didn't mean to say that. It's just different than it used to be. It's more invasive. But a lot of people are also at the same time out of work. They used to be advertisers, which means there's going to be more of a desperation on the part of people engaged, involved in that industry to be effective and produce. And that means doing anything and everything to get people to answer your call to action to go buy something. That means them targeting you even more on your emotional state, using sex to sell and violence to sell. All this crap that's out there. So it makes the quality of TV plummet even more. It becomes even more degrading to yourself, really, to watch. It's degrading, dehumanizing. Subject yourself to that garbage. Back in a few.
Pull back the curtain to expose the matrix on Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder and Joel Nissen. Weekdays at 7 p.m. on the one and only Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Into DNA and what they're doing with it, with their databases, and also some of the other things that NASA is involved in, and just a lot of different things. He's got a lot of articles on his website right now about the one world currency that we've been talking about, and he definitely has, you know, amazing, what you would think is something from a science fiction movie, real mainstream articles on his site that deal with microchips and deal with genetic mutation and hybrids and, you know, something that you can easily foresee in your mind's eye to be something out of, oh, I don't know, a Frankenstein movie. And God knows there's been dozens and dozens and dozens of them. I remember when I was younger, there were all these Frankenstein movies on TNT and this network and the other network. They're just like bizarre. I don't know. I'm sure Alan Watt believes everything's predictive programming. Not everything, but many things. And I don't know whether that's completely true, but I definitely feel that way, though, with a lot of things. There's actually another video someone made to Alan Watt speaking on the issue of predictive programming. And hell, there are really a lot of dollhouses, I believe one of them, weird shows out there coming out that appear to be exactly that, predictive programming. And in Dollhouse, I mean, you are dealing with mind-controlled Manchurian candidates that have some sort of a psychological software program organically in nature, though, embedded within their subconscious, only to be activated at a later date. Now, I don't watch regular TV. Someone should just do a whole, really, just do a profile on how sick the Fox News Network is with all these different shows and so-called reality shows and movies that are very, very, very warping in nature. So I find that television is hazardous to your health, just like smoking, although I struggle with that every now and then, but it's a much more pleasurable experience to be in my own thoughts and not have someone screaming propaganda at me, even if I'm putting something bad in my lungs or in my body. But what's more hazardous to your health? I don't know. You can debate that one. Smoking or exposing yourself to Fox News. I don't know. You definitely have your lows over here in this category, but you've got your mega, mega lows when it comes to watching too much of that crap on TV, like damaging your brain, allowing yourself to be mind-controlled. Even if, you know, those people out there that go, I can't be mind-controlled. I can't be hypnotized. You know, in many sitcoms that we've seen, there'd be a plot like that, and someone just pull out a watch, and they'd become mesmerized by it. It's like a big joke, like, yes, actually, you can be hypnotized. And what I think is interesting about that whole little thing is that it's the same way with everybody else. Walk around going, I can't be hypnotized. I can't be mind-controlled. My thoughts are my own. Oh, really? Well, what do you believe? Well, I believe we ought to be out there and fighting these wars in the Middle East because the terrorists want to take away our freedom. But I'm not mind-controlled. I believe whatever I want to believe. I'm a free-thinking human. Uh-huh. Sure you are. You just keep telling yourself, whatever helps you sleep better at night. And so the question is not who is mind-controlled, it's who is not mind-controlled. And it's always important as we sift through all this news to differentiate between their story and our story. And that's something that is easier said than done. Now, on the topic of living through a depression, which we're in, what we, many of us, that seek more openly to be in touch with our higher selves, want to find others of higher energy, because God, it is depressing out there in the city, but also in the country as well. It's kind of strange hearing about these murder suicides way out there as well. They have so much, but they don't even know it. They don't even know what's coming, and if they did, they would thank the stars above they were out there living on a farm. But then, of course, some people are killing themselves and others because they're losing that farm. But even still, they're out there. They're out of the city.
even if they were homeless, as much of a, you know, we got a lot of people programmed in this country to go, well, if I ever become homeless, I'm just going to kill myself. And that's sick. And a real man should be able to survive like a nomad and go from place to place if he had to and be strong enough emotionally to where you didn't kill yourself and you didn't kill others. I mean, think about the whole spiritual philosophy of Kwai Cheng Kang, Kung Fu. I travel place to place in search of trouble. No, I'm just kidding. In search of people to help. You know, the old, you know, what was magical about that for a lot of people? Or shows like that, or even characters like Clint Eastwood, the man that roamed around, that was unafraid of the enemy on the terrain, in the hot desert, underneath the hot sun, the one that never yielded to the system or society, the lone wolf, the real man that rode out into the dark of night. I mean, whatever happened to any of that? You've got the real man that watches the Ultimate Fighting Championship and drools for blood. Yeah, that's what we've got today. You've got simulated wrestling and simulated political wrestling, which is a lot like the steroid-driven characters we see on the TV set. So, yes, I find television to be highly damaging to your health, your psychological health, your spiritual internal freedom, your, let's say, spiritual hygiene. Not good to be exposing yourself to horrific acts of violence and sexual perversion. It has an imprint. It has an effect. All right, folks, we're about out of time. My name is Alex Hansery. This has been Outside the Box in the Oracle Broadcasting Network. You can check out the show daily, Monday through Friday. We always welcome your phone calls at 866-841-1065 or 512-904-8014. Next up is the Animal Farm. Funny stuff. Wacky, wild stuff. I might listen for a couple minutes at least to their first five-minute intro, and then I am taking a nap for an hour, and then I'm getting up like a programmed drone and going off to work. Folks, I know the future seems frightening. It's alarming. It's moving rather quick. Call it doomsday. Call it the end. Call it the quickening. Call it the shift. But we got to call it something because there is something going down. Use whatever word you want to define it, but normal doesn't live here anymore. And we are a long way from Kansas. That's why it's important to be informed. That's why it's important to have an education. That's why it's important to still be connected to your own humanity. In a world where we're trying to coexist with others that are willfully allowing themselves to be indoctrinated into the beast system, directly into the machine. So I think we're responsible in a big, big way, being as that we are all one, to watch out for our fellows and brothers and sisters and see us equal humans, not this guy works at 7-Eleven or this guy's an architect or this guy's a cop. No, we're all equal humans. All those little boxes are illusions. And also remember this, the system needs us for its survival. We don't need it for our survival. And that's a little secret mainstream media will not tell you. All right, folks, have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday.